Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. On this week's episode, we discuss the latest casting rumors for DC's Suicide Squad. We review the new album from Pink Floyd and subject ourselves to the 50 Shades of Grey trailer in this week's Trailer Talk. Welcome back to another episode of News Over Brews. It's been a long time, and we almost thought we were too old for this shit. But we're back, and I'm here with my two friends, Ryan DeMarco.
Al, just so you know, it's just been revoked.
And Lucas Jones.
I'll have what she's having.
Lethal Weapon quotes aside, let's get right into a brand new episode of News Over Brews. Lucas, what beer are we drinking this week?
We are drinking Scallywag from Three Beards Brewing Company.
That sounds made up.
I wish it was. It's kind of a ridiculous name, but it's also a ridiculously good beer. So it's an Imperial Stout, and it says, for best results, enjoy Bearded. So my other two co-hosts will not be able to enjoy this beer as fully as I can.
I have a little scruff.
It's scruff. It's not a beard. So it's a company based in Massachusetts. And the beer comes in at 7.4% alcohol by volume. It's an Imperial Stout, so of course it's poured black. The one thing I noticed right away is it's carbonated quite a bit more than you normally expect an Imperial Stout to be. I actually had a little trouble pouring it. Unfortunately, I gave Al a little too much head. It didn't give Ryan enough head, so I was having a little bit of an issue. You're children. So back to this beer.
It's been a good night for Al.
It's black as night. It's got a good head retention on it. It's
no, it's fine. Keep going.
Children. The one thing that I've noticed is that it's kind of a crisp. So it's not like a muted roastiness. It's got a thin mouthfeel, which is actually okay and works really well for this. So it's like a little thinner, a little more carbonated than you normally expect an Imperial Stout to be, but it works really well with the flavors that are going on. Like, it's a really, really good roastedness. Like, a really good roasty flavor. It's not subdued in any way. And let me just get another really quick sip there. Yeah, it's that roasted barley taste is just coming straight forward. So I'm really digging it. Al, you're with us.
I am.
Here in the same room.
This is a...
Not only are you drinking the same beer we're drinking, but you're actually sitting about a foot away from me.
This is the first time in a long time that I'm actually here for the podcast. We're not doing this over Skype or Google Hangout or Snail Mail. I don't know how we do podcasts
carrier
anymore.
Pigeon.
Carrier Pigeon, yeah. I'm very glad that you picked this beer. You know, it's winter. It's fucking chilly outside,
and
I was definitely in the mood for an Imperial Stout, something that can just put me on my ass, and this is definitely doing the trick. It was a 7.4, yeah, in a six-pack, which is really good value. I'm a big fan of the Imperial Stouts. You really put me onto them last year, and I've never had Scallywag before from Three Beards Brewing Company. Definitely malty. You know, definitely roasty is what I'm trying to say. You can already tell I'm a little inebriated from this. But yeah, you smell it, right from the pour. You know, the roasts and incredibly dark, but it's not. It's bitter, but it's not that overpowering bitter.
Right.
It's very, very, very sessionable, and I'm a big fan of it. I'm definitely gonna put this on the list.
You accidentally used a word that just triggered me.
Ooh, I'm sorry. Sessionable.
It's
sorry.
Not sessionable.
It's not sessionable.
No, it's not.
Okay.
You can't. All right. This is. We're not going to get into the sessionable discussion.
That's going to be on a future episode of Lucas is going to be premiering a new segment. It's going to be a separate podcast where he's going to be doing more roundtable interviews with all of his friends and acquaintances that he meets throughout his travels, because he's the wanderer of the group, but he wants to pretty much talk to everyone about different beer related or just topics in general, and one of them he's definitely going to be tackling is the word sessionable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for a later time.
Yeah. For right now, we're joined by our very pasty friend, Big Dinner Box. What's going on, Ryan? How's the beer? What's your take on this
beer? First things first. I am erasing that name from existence. You are not calling me Big Dinner Box ever again. unless you want to get slapped in the head, both of you. I was surprised by this one. I've been really on like an Imperial Stout kick probably like the last 2-3 weeks. Maybe 4. Maybe a year. The trend keeps growing. This is a... I never heard of this one, obviously. Lucas kind of...
I picked it up because I'd never heard of it. You know, I was like kind of do my like walk up and down the aisle to like kind of scan the fridge for what's going on. I saw Three Beards and I never heard of it.
And what was you asked me like what should we get, and I said, surprise me, I don't want to know. Just give me something cool.
And that's what this was. And you know what? It was interesting because it's a 6-pack, but it was like $8, $8.50.
That's really good.
That's pretty good.
That's a good value.
So yeah, and you know, I'm always intrigued when I see something that I've never like. You see breweries a lot, and you see the same breweries, and you say, "Oh, well, this brewery came out with a new beer." But it's rare that I see a brewery that I've never heard of.
Are they fairly new?
And I'm not really sure. You know, I mean, so I think they've only been around for like a few years. But I kind of hope that we get more down this way. You know, you don't often see smaller breweries from Massachusetts in Jersey. I'm wondering if that's just our liquor store being awesome, or you know, some other reason they're down here. But I don't know. If I had to give this beer a rating, I'd probably go with a really solid like 7, 7.5. It's a really good stout. I guess I prefer my stouts to be a little bit richer, if that's a word I could use. A little bit more smooth, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you ran the
but money. But I really like this. If, you know, it's an Imperial Stout. It's got a really roasty flavor. If you're into, like, and I am into roasted, like, not like coffee, not like burnt, but like a really roasted, just a flat-out roasted barley taste. That's what this has. And I'm really, really digging it. The aromas are great. The colors are great. So yeah, I give it probably a 7, 7.5 out of 10. Ryan?
I mean, you hit around the button again. It's so rich in texture and taste. It's got a nice earthy ground to it. It's very not smoky, right? Like a smoky roast.
I would say smoky.
Smoky.
No, I'm laughing at the right.
I think that right. might be good. Right. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's just, and it's not like a lingering, like a bad lingering taste on the mm-hmm. tongue. It's just, it's very refreshing, and especially since it's a newer, it's weird calling an Imperial Stout like refreshing in a way, but this one kind of is. It's for a newer brewery, this is kind of an eye opener for me. I mean, like definitely we'll be on the lookout, or at least I will be on the lookout for more beers from this crew. Overall, yeah, I give it a solid 7. Definitely. This is definitely something I would get again. I'd recommend anyone who's interested in Imperial Stouts. It's good for a hot winter night in front of the fireplace, perhaps, with a big fat Cuban in your mouth. And
you were so close. You were so close. Al, what do you think?
I'm going to give it an 8. I'm not going to go on a long diatribe about it. It's a good beer. I'm a big fan. I'm glad you surprised us with it. It's stout season. I'm loving it right now. You know, I'm loving this time of year just because, not because of the weather, because the weather is horrible, but I'm loving the stouts and the porters and all these dark beers and all these chocolate and creme brulee, and we're really excited because we're going to be doing all of these beers very soon, mm-hmm. you know. And
4 months of stout.
4 months of stout. The 4 months of stout. There's the
followed up by, of course, by the 8 months of stout that we'll be doing.
So it's just a year of stout, apparently. I know, just to give us something we're gonna review in the future. I know I really want to get Mad Elf reviewed. Trogs Mad Elf. You know, not to take anything from Three Scallywags, but Trogs Mad Elf is one of our favorite beers here at the podcast. For News or Ruse, and we didn't review it last year, so we're gonna have to do it this year. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be within the next couple weeks, so look out for that. And I'm liking this beer.
Did you go into the metal past of this?
Well, on the box, it says that they're Massachusetts residents, heavy metal enthusiasts. So that's how they created this very high gravity, intense skull and crossbones inspired offering.
Well, it kind of goes with the whole This Week in Metal that we let you do on the podcast.
Yeah. Sometimes you let me do it.
You see how I said let?
Yeah, let. That was good.
Yeah.
Nice choice of words there, Al. Anyway, moving on. On to the news.
Yes, on to the news. That's part of the reason why you came here. So let's talk about the news. We're going to go into our first bit, which would be movie news. And we had this great episode that we recorded last week, or 2 weeks ago, where we talked about the entire Marvel event, where they announced all of these big movies like Black Panther and Captain America Civil War, Avengers Infinity War, and then we didn't post it because the audio quality was horrible. So we didn't really get into a lot of detail. We had a couple guests on the show, and we're going to have to bring back because they were really great. Mike and...
Joe.
I got to stop drinking during the podcast. And another thing we talked about was how the reason Marvel did this event was because DC had this slate of movies that they were talking about, and one of them being The Suicide Squad. And David Ayer, director of Fury.
Ayer.
I always say Ayer, but that's how it looks to me. So the guy who directed Fury, the Brad Pitt World War II movie that just came out, he's going to be directing The Suicide Squad. What you don't know is, if you don't know, and Lucas doesn't, so I have to explain it to him, Suicide Squad is a super villain team that are actually like almost like work for hire. They're a team of villains that they were imprisoned, and Amanda Waller, she's this government agent who is like, I'm gonna put a task force of supervillains as basically a covert ops. And what happens is, the missions that they do, their sentences get reduced. So you got villains like Deadshot and Harley Quinn, like Captain Boomerang. There's a bunch of villains that have been in the Suicide Squad over the years. And I think there was a really, really important run in like the 80s or 90s. I can't remember when, of like the definitive Suicide Squad. Anyway, so... The Suicide Squad is a really cool team, and we're really into them, but we didn't know that it was going to be attracting a lot of big talent.
Seems to be like the big highlight, actually, of all the DC plans up ahead. This one seems to be getting the most traction right now.
Who were some of the people that they were talking to?
At first, it was, well, of all the names, it was Will Smith, Ryan Gosling, Tom Hardy, Jared Leto. And what's the girl's name? From
Maggie
Robbie?
I think it's Robbie.
Maggie Robbie from Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, the really, really hot girl from Wolf of Wall Street.
Right, oh, that one. Okay.
Yes. And so far, I think she's actually been confirmed as playing Harley Quinn, which is cool because we've never seen Harley Quinn on screen before, only on animated films. And so, yeah, they're talking to Will Smith, who has kind of been absent from movies.
Been very under the radar.
after the debacle of After Earth. And...
even before that, like, what was he in? He was in Hancock. He was in Seven Pounds. And he turned down a bunch of movies.
He did.
Including Independence Day 2. And another movie called Brilliant, something like that. But yeah, he's been flying.
What else was he in, though? I feel like he was in something, like, besides Recent? After Earth.
No. Pursuit of Happiness is before
that. That was way before. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Regardless. Shark Tale. Yeah, Shark Tale. Great movie. No sequel. There's Well Poo, and then there's you. That's my favorite line from that movie. And regardless.
Anyway,
so, yeah, Maggie Robbins has been pretty much confirmed as Harley Quinn, and and Jai Courtney. Jai Courtney, they're saying,
yes,
he's going to be
yes.
Deadshot. And now, the crazy rumor is that they're going to have Jared Leto is in talks to play the Joker. And I don't think I can see anyone else playing the Joker.
Really?
Yeah. Jared Leto, I mean, well, you were one of the people who was like, Heath Ledger?
I was.
Really?
I was.
And I was like, that's a great choice. And you're like, really? I'm like, you
I'm like, shut up, Al. Let's stop being friends.
Yeah.
And then see we stopped being friends. Yeah, yeah.
And then after The Dark Knight came out, we became friends again.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think Jared Leto is a really good choice. I think he would not try to be Heath Ledger. I think he would bring his own take. I think he would do more of a like a Mark Hamill animated series version of the Joker, which, you know, there's a lot of takes of the Joker. You don't have to do it just like Heath Ledger, because guess what? Before Heath Ledger, there was Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
And then there was Mark Hamill, and, you know, so there was a lot of versions of the Joker.
It's definitely ballsy of him to take on that role.
Yeah, it's definitely ballsy. If he does it.
If he does it.
Yeah. I don't think I could see anyone else doing it. Honestly, he is an Oscar-winning actor right now at this point.
Yeah.
He is...
He dresses like a girl in movies.
He's
got long, flowing hair.
He's perfect for it.
Yeah.
What about Jai Courtney as Deadshot? Can you see that?
He just... You know what? He's like Hollywood's new frontrunner. They're kind of just...
They're forcing him
down our throats. He's in Jack Reacher, A Good Day to Die Hard. He was in Divergent. He's gonna be in Terminator, and he's gonna be in what else?
In Terminator?
He's gonna be Kyle Reese.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, they are. That's like what's his name that they were shoving down our throats, the guy from Avatar,
Sam Worthington. Yeah, that worked out well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is in the Avatar business.
Yeah. Good for him. So he was in Terminator. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't Terminator. That's weird.
But anyway, you know, honestly, I really haven't seen him in enough things to kind of... I mean, I've seen him in a couple things, but, you know, I really can't get a... I feel like I haven't seen everything he can give. I feel like there's more in the pipe for him, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't shown us all of his acting. We'll see with that. Really, Tom Hardy and Will Smith.
Tom Hardy would be great.
Yeah, Tom Hardy coming back to DC would be great.
That'd be cool if he just played Bane.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I think it'd be cool just to see him do recurring role as Bane, but I know we're never going to see that happen. I mean, honestly, I think he deserves to be a front runner in a really big superhero movie like that again. But also, we talked about in our little Marvel podcast that never actually came out, so this will get Lucas back in. Hey, Lou, come in. So... Lucas is usually not big into our superhero discussions, mostly because he doesn't have the time to watch them all. He's so busy not doing anything. And
I watched Bloodsport the other night.
Wow, good.
20 I'm years, proud of you. That was good.
20 years later. So I asked you this question before, but I'll ask you again so you can actually have it on the podcast. Do you think this is an oversaturation for comic book films? Or as someone who isn't a comic book reader, a regular reader, or as someone who goes out to these movies when they come out, do you think there's too many of these films, or do you think, oh, now I have a lot of options?
I think that for the diehards, it's not too much. But I think for normal people, it's not too much either. But I think it's not too much for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So for the diehards, it's not too much because you guys are like, oh my God, like we've never seen a Harley Quinn. Okay, cool. We're going to go see, you know, what Harley Quinn looks like, blah, blah, blah. You know, we want to see all these, like, other characters because we know the Suicide Squad is, like, this really good storyline. Okay, fine. You're going to go see the Suicide Squad. But, like, for people like me, you look at it and you go, eh.
No, because I've never heard of this stuff? Or because it doesn't look good?
Not because it doesn't look good. Like, I'm sure it's going to be good, but, like...
It's also so far down the line, you can't fathom it right now,
right,
too.
Like, you guys are talking about like, you know, 2-3 years. Like, oh, my God, I can't wait 2 years down the line. Like, you know, I can understand that.
Actually,
because...
Actually, a year and a half.
Because when Star Wars came out, or when like, the news that Star Wars was coming out, I lost my mind. And, like, I was like, how can I possibly wait all this time? And then I heard J.J. Abrams was directing it, and then I was like, well, shit, now I'm not going to go see it.
yeah, you are.
And I'm going to be first in line to see it twice. I'm going to clone myself so that I can see it twice at the same time. But I think for the normal people out there, they'll probably either get dragged to see it by comic book friends, or they just kind of will let it fly under the radar. And they won't go see it. They'll stay with the big blockbuster titles, and they'll stay with all that. But that's okay, though, because do the executives who are making these types of things really expect, like, let's be realistic, like B-movies? B-movies in the sense that they're not the title characters that we all know.
Iron Man was a C or D-list character, and it turned out to be Marvel's biggest cash cow.
Not saying that things can't turn around and be successful. I mean, Suicide Squad
they're
might be really successful. If you know, that first weekend, it might not do well.
Mm-hmm.
And then people go, wow, this movie was really, really fucking good. Then everyone else will go, all right, well, I guess I'll go see it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's not saying that it can't be successful. But what I was saying is that it, for normal people like me, it's one of those things that we see it, we ignore it. Or no, we see it, we acknowledge it, and we just kind of go, eh. Maybe we'll see it, maybe we won't. We don't have strong feelings one way or another.
That's a great answer. But you know what? It actually directly leads me into our kind of our next topic, mainly because I forgot about it. They just announced the name of the new Star Wars movie.
I don't want to know.
So
you don't know?
No, I don't know.
Oh, my God. I'm going to tell you anyway. So
No, seriously. I don't want to know.
Oh, I know. I'm going to tell you. The name of the Star Wars film, you're going to have to find it eventually.
If I haven't heard it by now, I'm not going to hear about it.
That makes no sense at all. All
right, so we're going to tell you because fuck you.
Here you go. Here's your answer.
So the next film, so J.J.
Abrams, brace yourself. He's got his hands on his knees right
episode
now.
Episode 7. Star Wars Episode 7 is... I can't believe I'm telling him this. This is crazy. So it's called...
I don't go on the internet.
So it's called... Yeah, you do. You absolutely go on the internet.
Not just surfing like you do.
All right. Anyway, it's called Star Wars The Force Awakens. So, Lucas, resident Star Wars aficionado, what do you have to say about that?
As he drinks the rest of his beer.
I don't know, because you are a Star Wars fan, you might know about this. This was actually a really... a big fan film. Someone actually had a fan film called The Force Awakens. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Yeah, I have.
Back in 06.
Of course I've seen it.
Of course, yeah.
Well, let that digest.
Yeah.
Sink in.
How does he not fucking
know? I know. That's crazy.
You know...
I swear I told him.
No. I mean...
Do you remember that text I sent you a few weeks ago now? Does it make sense now?
So, the thing is now I'm really worried.
Homosexuality.
That makes sense. Yeah. So now here's the thing I'm worried about now is that, like, is this going to turn into like a Jedi movie? Because I really don't want another Jedi movie.
What do you want?
I want like a movie that's set in the time where the Jedi are still. Okay, so here's the thing. So after.
Oh, that's why I said that. I love it.
After the events of Return of the Jedi, there's a lot of expanded universe stuff. I get that they're not using expanded universe, but there's certain things that you can't ignore. You can't ignore that the galaxy is recovering from a 30-year civil war that was started because of a conflict between the Jedi and the Sith. Okay, so you have a lot of mistrust. And you don't even have to subscribe to the expanded universe to get that there's going to be some mistrust of Force wielders. So this movie is taking place 20, 30 years after Return of the Jedi. The Force Awakens leads me to believe that there's going to be some movie about, like, rediscovering, of rebuilding the new Jedi Order, which is cool, but I'm so done with, like, Jedi movies. Like, we had the first... All right, so let's break it down into two trilogies. The first trilogy, 4, 5, and 6, was really good, right?
Right.
And it was really good for a number of reasons. There was not a lot of CGI. There was, they didn't have it, but it wasn't, it was based around the conflict between people, not as a conflict between like Jedi and Sith. And then we got those movies. We got the first three movies and it was like super flashy lightsaber battles. And that was really cool. But I don't know if I want to watch another movie that's just about Jedi and Sith, because you can't have a movie about Jedi unless you have Sith, because otherwise it's episode one. Right?
Understood.
How bad was episode one? It was a movie about Jedi, and then there was Darth Maul, and then he was dead.
True.
So unless you include the Sith...
Spoilers.
You can't... Yeah.
Spoilers.
Unless you include the Sith, then you can't have a movie about the Jedi. I'm still holding out hope that it's going to be like a character-driven film about people who are not Force users.
It probably will be.
Not. Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool that I kind of know the title, and that's, you know, I'm cool with that now, I guess, since I didn't have a choice. But, you know, I don't know. I'm still holding out on episode 7 right now, mostly because I don't trust J.J. Abrams, and I just...
He has to wow you.
I can't get hurt again. I'm too vulnerable.
Star Trek was good.
Star Trek sucked.
Shut up.
Star Trek was good. Oh, don't even start. Move on to the next topic.
Moving on
to the next topic before I strangle you with your own plot holes.
Fine. All right.
If I took a rope the size of the plot holes in Star Trek Into Darkness, I could not only strangle you, but I could throw a rope around the entire equator and strangle you at the other end.
I don't know how to respond to that. So moving on to something.
The size of the plot holes in Star Trek Into Darkness was about as big as the Starship Enterprise if it was underwater. Oh, wait, it was underwater, because that makes no sense whatsoever.
Okay, moving on to our next topic.
JJ!
That'll make Lucas a little happier. We're going to talk about Pink Floyd, which, you know, we've talked about a couple times. You know, Roger Waters of Pink Floyd, he's going to be directing a documentary about his Wall tour. David Gilmour still making music. Nick Mason's still out there floating around. But something happened a couple months ago that kind of just blew up the internet, the music industry, and, you know, our minds. Was David Gilmour and the entire Pink Floyd collective, besides Roger Waters, said, hey, we're coming out with a new album. It's everything left over from the Division Bell that we didn't use, all hundreds of stuff that we didn't use, because we want all of the Richard Wright stuff, who passed away in 2008, all of his stuff that is unreleased, we want to share it with the world, you know, because that's it. That's the last things that he recorded with Floyd. So we're going to make a new album, and it's called The Endless River. And it's mostly ambient sounds, mostly instrumental tracks, except for one song, the last song on the album, except for the iTunes version had three extra songs. I don't know if you heard that. It's actually really good.
I don't have iTunes.
They're really good. Anyway, so only one track had vocals. It was the song called Louder Than Words, which is actually really good, which was written by David Gilmour's wife. And we got to hear new Pink Floyd music. Now, to put that in perspective, Pink Floyd, The Division Bell, came out in 1994. It was the last Pink Floyd album. 20 years absent of Pink Floyd music. So, me and Lucas, that's actually one of the, besides Celebrity Jeopardy and Scrubs, Pink Floyd is one of the things that built our friendship. And it was so weird to actually get to say, hey, man, there's a new Pink Floyd song, mm-hmm. a new Pink Floyd album. I didn't think I was ever going to live to see that, because I didn't think they were going to live any longer. So we finally got to hear Pink Floyd, The Endless River, came out on Tuesday. And what did you think?
It's good. It's good. And that's all I have to say.
20 years for that.
20 years and it's pretty good.
No, it's I enjoy it. You know, the only thing I really didn't like was I didn't like Louder Than Words. I didn't like the actual lyrics. I thought they were kind of lame.
I liked it.
Maybe it's because I thought, no, not lame. That's, like, stereotypical, I think. Like, too metaphorical. Like, I get it, and it's fine, and, like, you know, whatever. But Gilmour's voice, I thought, was good.
Oh, he's so good.
A little overproduced. There was some kind of weird warbly thing, just from a technical perspective. And okay. I'm sure that was on purpose. But, gosh, the whole album is just so good.
Yeah.
You know? And Gilmour's guitar playing is stellar. And his tone is amazing. And you can... The thing about Gilmour is he's not a very technical player. But so many people have trouble emulating him because of the style that his bends are so hard to emulate. You know, you can get close, but, you know, he's got such a signature way to play, and it sounds so good. You know, it's that Division Bell era Floyd, which I love so much. That super ambient, like, delay.
Your high hopes.
Effects. Yeah, high hopes. Oh my God, exactly. So I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it. You know, I just kind of put it on, and really the best way to listen to Floyd is, you know, legally anyway, is to sit in your bed, you know, lay down, close your eyes, put some headphones in, and you know, I can't legally recommend any other kind of enhancements to listen to Pink Floyd, but no. You know, I really, really enjoyed it.
I was a big fan. I only listened to once. I just finally got the CD so I can listen in my car, but I don't know if I can listen to just instrumental tracks in my car. I like
not
either.
This album in the car.
No, you can't.
Instrumental album, maybe, but this is kind of like a sitting at home.
This is like a soothing. It's almost a very soothing album. Mm-hmm. It's not like The Wall that just fucks your mind up.
Right.
You know, it's a continuation of The Division Bell, which is a very, very, very soothing kind of album compared to, you know, past Floyd efforts. You mentioned it's very ambient. It's very. It's different. It was the 90s Pink Floyd. You had the 60s Pink Floyd, the super psychedelic stuff right at the end of the 60s. You had the 70s crazy weird Floyd. You had the Roger Waters crazy era with The Wall and Dark Side of the Moon. And then you have 80s Floyd, which is awesome, which is you know, you got you're Learning to Fly, your Gilmour Floyd, and then you got that 1994 Division Bell, the end of Floyd. and it's almost like they ended in like a smooth way, and that's how, you know, the album, you know, their tenure ends and the album ends. It's very different from everything else.
And it is ambient, but I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you listen to the album as background music for something mm-hmm. else. Like, you know, it's soothing, and so your first thought is, oh, I'll put this on in the background, but
no.
You really should. The only thing you should be doing is listening, because there's a lot of nuances. There's a lot of very cool, you know, they set the mood. Yeah. So if you're doing something else or you're listening to it, you're missing out on half the experience, which is why I highly suggest, like, you know, listening to it, like closing your eyes, turning the lights off kind of thing. I did fall asleep with the album on the second time I was listening to it. I got some crazy dreams, like weird shit. So, you know, give that a shot too.
Have some weird dreams.
Yeah.
We recommend
but it. It's very cool. I really dig it. He's not going to be playing it on tour. Pink Floyd's not going on tour.
Never.
Gilmore is going on tour with his own album that he's releasing later next year. Listen, I think.
Our biggest, for me personally, my biggest concert regret was not going to see Roger Waters do the wall.
Yeah, but we also didn't have $1,500 to go see him.
Okay, we did not have to spend that much. We tried. I remember getting up really early and trying to see how much tickets were, and they were really expensive, and I didn't get to go. I was young. I didn't have the money to do it.
You still don't have the money.
I still do not have money to do it. But I will, for the life of me, I will definitely go and see David Gilmour. I would love to go see Floyd, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. They're never going to do it.
Nah, probably not.
Even if they only do a few select shows, it's going to be so expensive.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be insane.
There's no reason for them to do it.
No, there isn't. And they've already said it. They're like, yeah, we're past that. We just wanted to get Richard Wright's stuff out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't want...
Because he's so talented.
He was...
And, you know, if there's a couple of... There's a documentary, and I can't remember. I think it's the Live at Pompeii documentary behind the scenes where there's an interview with him, and he's talking about, you know, being able to do all of the crazy synths when he first got into synths. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's sitting behind this giant switchboard, and he's talking about, like, you know, you just start plugging things in and getting these crazy sounds and, you know, figuring out what makes them tick and, like, what how to harness them and how to use them musically. And he said it's just, oh, and he's talking about how it's opening up this whole new world of music. So he was really in tune with that. And if you know Pink Floyd, you know that synth is there. Like when they added that synthy sound, they just turned into a totally different animal.
That's right.
That's
right, because you can, like I said, I was talking about the decades of Floyd. You can literally, they change as a band throughout the decades, kind of like, oh my God, we just ordered food and just came in and we just completely, our minds just was like, turned our attention to the food. But no, you can tell Floyd evolved like the Beatles. You can see that they, with each decade, they kind of changed with the times, but not in, they didn't change with the times. The times changed with them. You know, they created the sound that started the decade. Like mm-hmm. they were their own monster. And that's a reason that I love Floyd. That's why they're my number one classic rock band. You know, ahead of all of them, ahead of Zeppelin, ahead of the Beatles, way ahead of the Rolling Stones, because I think they're the most overrated rock band of all time.
We agree on that, I think.
Yeah, we do. So, yeah, I mean, if you haven't done it already, please go out and listen. I highly recommend listening to The Division Bell and then immediately after listening to The Endless River, because it's almost like a sequel or a companion piece to it. It's definitely worth a listen, especially if you're a Floyd fan, especially if you're a music fan.
I have one last thing to add to that. It's going to put a damper on this whole conversation you guys just had, but you mentioned something at the end, and I have to at least stick up for one of the greatest rock bands of all time, the Rolling Stones. And I also have to just mention that Pink Floyd's For Fairy Boys, who don't go far in life. So Pink Floyd sucks. Rolling Stones are great. That's all I have to say.
We killed Ryan shortly after this podcast.
News Over Bruised does not endorse the views expressed by Ryan DeMarco.
Yeah, Ryan. Ryan, what was his nickname again?
Oh, Big Dinner Box.
Big Dinner Box. Yeah, Big Dinner Box. Get out of here. No one likes you. This episode of News Over Bruised is sponsored by PopBreak.com. That's pop-break.com. It's the home for the best reviews, views, and interviews in the world of pop culture. It's basically if you took the movie Point Break and made it into a website. Yes, that's how awesome it is. Make sure you check out PopBreak.com right now. Moving on to our final topic, trailer talk. This week, we look at the 50 Shades of Grey trailer, the second one, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately because there's been so much hype for this movie because of these incredibly popular books. I didn't even know people read anymore. So it was crazy because everyone in my family, all the females in my family were reading this trilogy of books.
It's kind
of
awkward, isn't it?
It's very awkward. My girlfriend was reading it, and my mom was reading it, my sister was reading it. I didn't want to...
fact that your girlfriend is reading it is a good thing, because then it gives you a list of ideas to try.
You think so, but honestly...
Not your mom, though.
I know. The book started as they were actually Twilight fan fiction, and for men, Twilight is the worst. So if you're thinking Twilight fan fiction, this is going to be slightly... not as bad, but still pretty bad. And it really is. And when you see the trailer, which is actually directed by Kick-Ass's wife.
Yes.
Like the kid who played Kick-Ass? Sophia.
His wife. His 40-year-old wife, or his really older wife. I forgot her name, too. Taylor Johnson? Oh, no, that's his name.
That's his name.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Aaron
Taylor. Anyway, regardless, 50 Shades of Grey, first trailer, starting Dakota Johnson as... Anastasia? First of all, that
Anastasia,
name.
Anastasia. Yeah.
First of all, that name is so old-fashioned. And this is coming from someone whose name's Alfred. And then we have...
that guy.
What's his name?
The guy from Once Upon a Time, who played the huntsman on Once Upon a Time. The guy who's playing Christian Grey.
Oh, I don't know.
All right, good. He doesn't matter. No one matters. This movie looks terrible. And let's talk about why this movie looks terrible. Lucas, go.
Well, I mean, I will say one good thing.
What?
Is that porn is legal in cinema now.
Oh,
which
finally.
Is nice because, you know, pretty soon we'll be able to see, like, classic porn films in, like, high def on IMAX.
Nice.
Which
watch
is
Deep
cool.
Throat, finally. Yeah.
Yeah. Finally. So that's cool. So we're moving towards that as a society. But otherwise, yeah, no, I'm just... fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah,
that's a perfect response.
You know what? Because like it's a book based on a story that's based on nothing. So it's a thing based on a thing that's based on nothing.
You forgot the movie part. So it's a movie based off a book series that's based off another book series, which is based off just gibberish.
Yeah. So it's. Oh God. So basically, it's just going to be a bunch of women. Going by themselves or dragging
like, their boyfriends.
Unfortunately, Al will be going.
Be there opening night.
Megan, if you're listening, he can't wait to spend quality time with you because he misses you so very much.
He doesn't listen.
This is the perks of being gay, pretty
right,
much, right now.
Yeah. So it's just going to be a bunch of women going to see this movie and, you know, for lack of a better term, getting a little too into it and then coming home and yelling at their significant other for not being as adventurous, impressive, intimidating, handsome as Mr. Grey.
Rich.
And all these guys will be buying chains, whips, candlesticks.
Right, yeah.
And
then
wait. I didn't want to do that. I wanted you to just be a rich billionaire.
And then
somebody's
going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get, like, chained, and they're going to get waxed, and then they're, you know, there's going to be, like, burns and shit. And then they're going to go to the hospital, and since no one has health insurance, you know, the hospitals are going to have to pick up the tab. And the hospitals are funded by the government, and the government's broke as shit anyway. So really, all this movie is doing is driving up our national debt, putting us more in debt to China.
Wow. So 50 Shades of Grey is actually going to be a harm
for the country. 50
Shades of Grey
is contributing to the decline of Western civilization.
Jeez. I didn't think that far. But
That's why you have me.
Let's go back to actual quality of the film itself. I'm actually a fan of the guy who's playing Christian Grey. He was on Once Upon a Time. He was very short-lived. He died really early on in the show, and he's actually really good. He's one of the best parts of the first season of the show. I heard the plot for the first three books. I'm not a fan.
But can you respect it, though?
Can I respect it? I can respect any... pretty much... I can respect anything as long as it's good. It doesn't...
I can respect almost anything.
It just doesn't look... It looks so... straight from the book. Like, it's almost like the person read the book and they're like, all right, action. They're like, let me say the lines. It looks really half-hearted. You know, like, think of, like, other book adaptations. Like, the Harry Potter series, it took us almost, like, three or four movies for it to get, like, really...
darker, better.
The third movie. It took the third movie to, like, all right,
It was a change of directors, too.
It was. Well, it was a change. Yeah, exactly. So it was a change of directors. It was a change of tone. And it finally, you know, put it full gear. Now, you get the Hunger Games, too. Hunger Games changed directors. But the first movie was still really good. It was. It adapted the films really good. Yeah. It treated it well.
That did a step above Twilight.
You go Twilight. And this is literally someone who created Twilight fan fiction and became successful. So this is like basically the equivalent of someone having a really popular Twitter account that turned into a television show. So
which has happened.
It has. Shit my dad says. So
didn't last very long.
It didn't last. But what I'm trying to say is, yeah, I mean, you can have a successful book and you can make all this money and all these fans, but if you don't directly translate it well into the film, then you're not going to have a successful... You're going to have a successful franchise regardless, because you're going to have the diehard fan readers, but you're not going to have people saying, I didn't read the books, but that looks interesting. You're not going to get those people, because you're going to get the Twilight people who are like, that's the third Twilight movie that really looks stupid. I'm not going to go see it.
The thing is, from the movie alone, it's a nicely dressed piece of shit, basically. You can polish a turd, but it's still a piece of shit, pretty much. You know, immediately in the trailer, this chick's gonna get boned from this guy. He's gonna rail her hard.
I think that might be the point.
That's the whole point.
But I'm just saying, like, the beginning of the movie, you're not gonna be like, oh, where is this gonna go? Is this relationship gonna blossom? No, he's gonna rail her until she's crying for mercy. And you know, he's gonna fly her on a plane, and he's gonna take her to a coffee shop, and he's gonna rail her.
Both trailers have shown, besides Ryan's very misogynist viewpoint,
he's gonna bang her like he's never bunged before.
Can I just say one thing though?
Sure, please.
It's gonna make a ton of money.
It's gonna make a
That's the reason
because,
they made it.
Because if let's just say 1 in 4 women have read the book. Or have experienced some portion of the book.
Or
right?
Someone told them about the book.
Let's go 1 in 6, 1 in 7, right?
Okay.
Women have friends.
That's right.
And women do things with other women.
That's right.
So one woman's going to go, but they're not going to go by themselves because women do everything together. Mm-hmm. So they're going to take their friends.
Murder of women.
Hey, let's go. A murder? Women aren't crows.
Right. Get out of the podcast.
They're going to go with their friends. And so even women that aren't interested in it are going to go. And so it's going to make a ton of money. And what does that mean? Sequels.
It's going to be a guaranteed 2 sequels because there was 3 books. Mm-hmm. And the rate that the trend that's happening with books is the third book usually gets split into 2 movies. So we're going to guarantee at least 4 Fifty Shades of Grey films.
50 Shades of Grey. Dicking Part 1 and Dicking Part 2.
Fantastic.
Terrific.
Thank you. So, we have the Dickening, the third
now
film.
Now we're going to have to put an explicit tag on this podcast.
Oh, yeah,
fantastic.
Definitely going to be explicit.
But that just comes down to the last thing. Sex sells.
Yes.
That's the thing. Absolutely. The curiosity is going to get everyone. They're going to wonder, I wonder how far they're going to push the envelope with this movie.
And they're not.
It's rated R or NC-17? Probably rated R.
It's going to be rated R. They will not... An NC-17 film is a death sentence for a box office. Mm-hmm. Even with a film with this much hype and you know that much of a following, if you put an NC-17 rating, you're done. It's over.
But I wonder if they shot an unrated version for DVD.
There's a possibility, but at the same time, who cares? Because this looks horrible. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't look like a well-made film. It looks like they. The Hunger Games and 50 Shades of Grey are not the same film. They're not. One's an action movie with a love story. The other one's a love story with, like, you know, with torture. So
light torture?
Well, I wouldn't say torture. I mean,
S&M. Sorry. Yeah. So you have S&M. Completely different subjects, but what I'm trying to say is you can adapt a book very well that draws in the book audience plus a whole different audience who didn't read it but are just interested in the movie, and then you get a lot of money. Then you have the book audience getting translated to a really crappy film where you're only going to get the book audience. No one's going to be like, that really crappy film was so crappy, I cannot wait to see the second one. Yeah. It's not going to happen. So I just think that, this movie's going to do very well. We're going to see at least 3 of these films. And we're going to have to deal with it. I mean, they pumped up the release of the trailer. It's one of the first movies that actually had ads talking about the release of the trailer. That is so beyond stupid, I can't even describe it.
I mean, you see it on TV, like Avengers, they said, all right, it's going to be in 1 week.
Yeah, but that this, started yeah. with this. You heard it. I heard it on the radio. They're like, in 3 days. And you heard the Beyonce track. The wait is almost over. The first footage from 50 Shades of Grey. Like, they pumped up the trailer. Not the movie. The trailer to the movie. And it was a short trailer. So it's like so weird that like we're getting to the point where we're excited about a teaser for a movie. A teaser for a teaser of a movie. Yeah. That's so dumb. But that is the world we live in. And we're going to have to deal with it. And we're going to have to end this podcast because we got more food in front of us and we need to eat it. So, thank you for listening to another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino and I'm about to eat some cinnamon sticks.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco. And before you eat those cinnamon sticks, I'm going to tie them around my wrist and Lucas is going to pour hot cheese on my body.
And before I do that, I'm going to eat some cinnamon sticks.
Thanks for listening.